Sooner Nation, OU Insider subscribers, Coach Brian Clinton enthusiasts, people who are excited that we're going to see some real football on the field at Oklahoma Memorial Stadium on Saturday at 1 o'clock for right now. This is the podcast for you. This is another episode of the Oklahoma Drill Podcast, a podcast fueled by OUInsider.com and the Rivals Network. I am Jesse Crittenden, and I am joined, as always, you guys know the drill, Oklahoma Drill. You know the drill. That's the name of the... You guys know who I am joined by. It is Sir Coach Esquire Brian Clinton. Brian, we've got actual football coming on Saturday. Like, on the field. Yeah. Players, coaches. That's pretty cool.
It is.
That's pretty cool.
It is. I'm excited about it. Like we said, it's an exhibition game, but I am excited about it. I'm excited to see what they put out on the field, and it's a big weekend. Let's not pretend that there's not other things on your mind that's going on this weekend. We can be excited about that too. This isn't a Thunder podcast, but it's worth mentioning.
I will be, well, in the sake of one sentence about it, I will be at the Thunder playoff game on Sunday at 8:30. Me and my friend Ryan Chapman from All Sooners, we will be there wearing our matching white playoff t-shirts and trying my best not to freak out every second because the playoffs just take my nerves. I'm up here with it, Brian. I'm trying not to. We're just going to have a good time at the spring game. I'm not worried about Sunday, but you're right, man. Last spring game before OU officially joins the SEC. And this is a big weekend because, yeah, you're right. This is largely an exhibition. It's a chance for the players to get some game time or game like reps on the field. It's really an opportunity to get some fans to get fans a chance to watch some football before we head into the offseason, but also a huge visitor weekend, weekend, as our colleague Parker Thune put together a list over at OUInsider.com of all of the people, all the players, all the recruits, all the transfer guys that are coming to visit this weekend. And it's like a million guys. Okay, it's not really a million, but it's like a million. Huge weekend, Brian. It does, in a weird way, this does feel like a particularly impactful or important weekend and spring game, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's kind of like the changing of the guard, I guess. This is technically, I think Oklahoma is still part of the Big 12, so you won't see like the logos and all that stuff, but the SEC logos, that is. But this is the first real chance that you get to see Oklahoma as a part of that conference. And sounds like Paul Feinbaum's going to be in Norman for it.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, there's going to be lots of new things going on starting this week. So that's fun. But yeah, as far as the visitor list goes, I mean, transfer guys, high school guys, guys that you need to add to this team for it to be successful, not just in 24 but beyond, are going to be there. And it's going to be a big atmosphere. And I'm sure Sooner Nation will still find a way of showing up, even if the weather isn't necessarily perfect. I'm sure that they will be there in strength. It may not be 80,000 deep, but, I'm still have very high expectations of them. And I can't wait to get back out there on the sidelines. It feels like forever since I've been down there and seen things in person. So it'll be nice to be back down there and next to the action and kind of seeing some of the growth that's happened over the last several months.
Well, you mentioned the weather. That is one thing that has put some things a little bit up in the air. I think it's possible we get an announcement. We're recording this Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon. I think it's possible we get an announcement that the game time is delayed at least a little bit. It's set for 1 p.m. I think it's mostly just rain. I think that's the main concern. Yeah. But I think it is possible. It's possible while we're recording the pod, we get an announcement. I know there's some administration officials talking about it right now. But I know they're going to try to do everything they can to not only play it on Saturday, but to play it as close to 1 p.m. as possible. That is a priority with everything that's going on this weekend. Regardless, I will brave the elements on my way to the sheltered press box where I will not be touched by the elements. But my walk there, Brian, I'm going to brave it. So I'm basically in the same boat as you. I know you're going to be on the field directly in the middle of all of it, but I like to think we're in the same boat. I'd like to think
Sure.
it's going to be the same amount of bravery, you know? But this is, I'm the bravest guy in the world. I
That's
just
what it
am.
is, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the bravest guy. But this is also, I mean, the transfer portal window, the spring transfer portal window opened a couple of days ago. So I think we've already seen some movement with Shane Witter and Hayden Bray announcing they're going to enter the portal. Don't think either of those were particularly shocking, especially in Shane Witter's case. 4-year guy that's dealt with some injuries. I think you have to be, if you're a fan, you have to appreciate that he stuck it out for 4 years at OU, and it just the path to playing time just I just don't think was going to be there, you know.
Yeah.
But it is going to be interesting to see what we see, especially after the spring game, who we see entering the portal. I have a couple of names that I think could. We've seen it the last couple of years, especially even though the portal is opening a few days before the spring game. It's really after the spring game that
Yes.
we might see some movement.
Yeah.
So a lot to think about, a lot to talk about, Brian. But I think to really preview this spring game, I think we have a fun exercise for the viewers at home. We talked about it a little bit beforehand, but instead of going through every single position group or just throwing a ton of info at everybody, I think it would be fun to do a draft, if you will, a draft of guys who we think could use a big performance in the spring game to really catapult them into the 2024 season in the fall, the summer, all of that stuff. Maybe guys that we've heard a lot about this spring, guys that we've seen do some really good things in the practices we've been able to attend. Maybe they're young guys, maybe they're transfer guys, maybe they're returning guys that haven't seen a ton of playing time, but you know, a spring game performance could really boost their stock heading into the fall. So we've talked about it beforehand. You've made a list of, I believe, 12 guys, right? I have a list of 8, and together we are going to make a total list of 8. We're going to draft 4 guys each, and guys who we think really fit that criteria to a T. And Brian, because I am so gracious and so unselfish, in addition to being really brave, I'm going to give you the first pick in this guys to watch list for the spring game on Saturday. So, without further ado, Brian, you get the first number one overall pick. The timer has started. Who is your first selection for guys you think could have a big performance that springboards them forward?
I wish I would have grabbed a soundbite of the NFL, the tone. Do, 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 do,
That's
do, do. Okay, pick is in.
Well, I should, sorry, real quick. I should specify, you and I have not shared our lists.
No.
Your list is separate. My list is separate. This is the first time we've unveiled these lists, but first
Yes.
overall pick.
Desaun McCullough is number one
I love it. He was
on
not
my
my number
list.
one, but he is on my list.
Yep.
I love it. Make the
Desaun McCullough is,
case. Make
yep.
the case.
He, so Trace Ford, during an interview on the radio earlier this spring, was talking with Toby Rowland and said that he expected McCullough to be the defensive MVP for the Sooners this year, which I just thought that was a huge, like just a huge thing to say about a guy who, you know, last year played fairly sparingly because of injuries, wasn't necessarily the best option for Oklahoma whenever they needed the cheetah to cover space as far as playing against the pass. But we've seen him moved to the Will linebacker position, which is the weak side linebacker, and is a guy that's going to be asked to make a lot of open field tackles by himself. Just with the way the scheme works, your Will typically is a guy that's going to be left in a lot of one-on-one spots with running backs, or maybe even allows him to get after the quarterback as a pass rusher, which I think is where we could see Desmond McCullough really excel. Especially as you wait for somebody at the defensive end spot to really emerge as a true pass rusher. So I think Desmond McCullough, with the unique skill set that he has, and from some of the things that we saw from him in spring, standing alongside Danny Stutzman, there were some flashes there where it looked really promising. And I think that this is a guy that maybe OU fans maybe forgot a little bit about last year, whenever he didn't necessarily live up to some of the hype, whether it was for injury purposes or whatnot. I think this is a guy that could really reemerge and could end up being a huge, huge player for the Sooners in 24. And think he could use a big spring game to get that train rolling again.
I love the pick. Love it. That was going to be part of why I thought this would be fun and why I think we both thought this would be fun is that wanted to see where we overlapped because I think there's going to be some differences, but I wanted to see where we overlapped. Desmond McCullough is on my list. I love the pick. And I think for everything you just said, for one, I think even with the injuries, there were some ways it was an underwhelming season, but Desmond McCullough was good when he was on the field last year. He played 276 snaps per Pro Football Focus. He had the fifth highest grade, the fifth highest PFF grade of anybody on the defense last year. And among guys that played at least 200 snaps, he was second. So I think he did a lot of good things at that cheetah position. But you're right. I mean, I think he's always been a little bit more of a linebacker, or a little bit, he's played a little bit more closer to the line and less of a secondary coverage guy. He's been playing a lot at Will, man, and it really in that last open practice we got to go to, it was Danny and Deson getting those first team reps at linebacker in that 2 minute drill they did. And I wanted, so it's funny, so I actually asked Danny Stutzman about Deson when we got to talk to Danny and Jackson Arnold on Tuesday, and I just wanted to read a small part of it. We've been trying to get him on the field as much as possible because when he's on the field, he makes plays. He's a freak athlete, so when he's on the field, good things happen. We're trying to find every single position we can put him in to make things happen. Even compared him to Isaiah Simmons, a former standout linebacker at Clemson. So I think it's not only just because of his potential and also because of the him moving more as a traditional linebacker is interesting, but also I think it's because there's a lot of talent at that linebacker spot. I think that's part of why he's on my list too, is whether it's Kip Lewis or Kobe McKenzie or Jaron Kanick or even other guys like Lewis Carter and Sammy Omisigo, it's not a given that anybody's going to see playing time there, right? So I think a big time performance in the spring game could be really helpful for him to kind of separate himself if that's what happens.
For sure, 100%.
So I think ultimately I like the pick. That's a good pick. I like it. I'm gonna go with my first option or my first pick. So the second overall pick in this draft. And I think you know where I'm going. I teased it earlier. You know where I'm going. People at home have probably, if they've listened to us enough, they now have an idea where I'm going. Jaden Gibson is my first pick and the number two overall pick in this draft. I am the king of Jaden Gibson Island. I have built the fortress. I have built the platform on top of the fortress. I am surveying my land. I don't know how big the island is, but I'm surveying it. It's been surveyed. I just look, he's a guy that I was high on anyways. We saw his potential last year. 14 catches, not a ton. He went on the field a ton, but five touchdowns, had the second highest yards per catch average on the team. 6'5" matchup nightmare. A lot of reasons to be excited about him going into his third season at OU. But you add the injuries that OU has had, unfortunate injuries that OU has had in the wide receiver room. Andrew Anthony's missed the spring or hasn't been a full participant. Nick Anderson hasn't been a full participant. Jahlil Farouk is unfortunately on a scooter with that knee injury. You know the guy that's stepped up? It's Jaden Gibson. Both on the field, he's really gotten a lot of reps with Jackson Arnold. But his leadership too. I thought Jackson Arnold had a really interesting quote on Tuesday when he was asked about him. He basically said that, you know, he got here a year after Jaden Gibson, but he said, I had heard stories that Jaden Gibson needed to grow up a little bit. But now he said he stepped up as a leader. He's been the guy that's emerged in that wide receiver room. And he's not the only, Jackson Arnold's not the only guy that said something like that. But to me, you mentioned it last week. Sometimes the best of ability is availability. And I think Jaden Gibson's not only stepped up as a leader, but I think a lot of people had maybe penciled Nick Anderson or somebody else in that starting spot outside. You know, who knows what's going to happen with that wide receiver depth. But to me, if he can have a big time spring game, I think he goes from he's a guy that's seen a lot of reps because people are injured, to I think that's a top three receiver that's going to be starting game one. So anyways, that's my pick. What do you think?
Yeah, he was on my short list as well. Pretty close to the top. So that's one you'll hear again here pretty soon. But yeah, he is he's incredible. That's a guy that is slowly but surely grown into someone I think is going to play a really, really big role for this team. And not just on the field, but in the locker room. It feels like he's run with that leadership quality, which is great. And that's something with the kind of attitude that you've seen him portray over the years, and the kind of things that we've, you know, heard from him whenever he's giving the interviews and things like that, the characteristics that he's got, he's so much fun to be around. And so for him to be in the role that he's in now is great. But yeah, you talk about it, the intangibles. He's got the size, he's got the length, he's got strong hands. He showed the ability to go up and attack the football several points last year. But I think what stood out to me is just like how fast he looked this year. Like he looks like he's really grown into himself, where that you wouldn't really call him lanky anymore. Like he's not a lanky build. He seems as if he's really gained control of that length, and he breaks very strong out of his routes, and is somebody that's had a lot of speed. So yeah, I love that pick. Fantastic.
Well, and to me, that 2-minute drill they did last week, Jaden Gibson made a huge play down the field, got open, had to kind of jump up and adjust in midair to make the catch. I think part of this again is just that wide receiver room is so deep. There's so many guys that deserve real playing time. This isn't to say I'm not high on Nick Anderson or Deion Burks or anybody else, or Andrelle Anthony, who was incredible before he got hurt last year. I think there's going to be a lot of jockeying for playing time. And I think all those guys are going to get time on the field. But to me, there's real momentum for Jaden Gibson to see a bigger role than last year. Yeah. And I think if he keeps progressing, that's just going to increase. Like it could be the difference between him seeing 20 snaps a game to 40 snaps a game.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I think the other thing is, like, who are the guys that you want out there on 3rd and 8? Like 3rd and 8, the game's on the line. Jaden Gibson, it feels like he's one of those guys that's starting to emerge as probably one of the few guys that you want out there.
And I'm not saying it was unjustified, but think about how low fans were on him heading into last year.
Yep.
He's got a drop problem.
Yeah.
He's lanky. He's all limbs. He struggles to get separate. All that stuff.
Yeah.
I think he's put all that way behind him. So anyways, I'm glad you had him on your list. I'm proud that he is my first pick and the number 2 overall pick in this draft. Brian, before you make the number 3 overall pick, I believe you have a message to our viewers from our friends at Manscaped. Am I right in saying that?
Call them what you want. Knee knockers, golden nuggets, thigh slappers, etc. Our friends over at Manscaped refer to them as the boys. Not every man has a child. I do. But every man is responsible for their 2 boys below the waist. When your little guys have more hair than they need, trust Manscaped for all your grooming dreams. Boys need love too, so join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and use code OUINSIDER for 20% off plus free shipping. You heard it here first. The boys are back in town. For the basic trim, go with the 3.0. Work your way up to the 4.0 and the 5.0 for grooming experience. And if you haven't heard already, They have the lawnmower family now. And you've got the lawnmower 3.0, the 4.0 Pro, and the 5.0 Ultra. I have the 5.0 Ultra myself. Love it. It's like the best all-around grooming tool I have. So absolutely love that. And guys, this is, we're always looking to like get an edge and be more towards the front of things and always on the cutting edge of things. This is the cutting edge of cutting pubes. Like this, it doesn't get any better than this. So upgrade your ball trimmer and your life will follow suit. Get 20% off free shipping with the code OU Insider at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code OU Insider at manscaped.com for the best your boys have ever looked. Trust Manscaped.
Brian, you've got the number three overall pick, and you got to remember, hey, now we'll do some honorable mentions at the end, but you got to remember you've only got three more picks. So you got to choose carefully here, but you're on the clock. The number three overall pick, who are you going with?
Grayson Halton.
Also on my list. Let's go. Also on my list.
Grayson Halton is my second pick, third overall pick.
You're also cutting down guys that I can pick. So kind of selfish of you.
Sorry about
but
that.
Go ahead. Grayson Halton. Make the case.
Grayson Halton is a guy. While there's been a lot of juice about Jaden Jackson, obviously everybody's excited about what David Stone can be. Grayson Halton has been very, very impressive this spring. That's a guy that has won his fair share of one-on-ones that I've watched, and he's done it pretty consistently. This is also a guy that we've been excited about. He's shown some flashes in the past, and as somebody who really needed to step up and be big time in the last couple of years, and now it really seems like he's stepped into the mold and is ready to be that guy at 3-Tech for Oklahoma. So what's interesting is with the Sooners transitioning a little bit more to a three-man front, which not a lot of people are super crazy about, but there's going to be more three-man front. I do like his ability to move around be a pass rusher against some of the guards that he's going to see. I think he's quick and is able to move really well for his size. So love him, love what he's got going on. And I think with a room full of guys that are really just there's a lot of pressure on that group, right? Like there's a ton of pressure for Oklahoma's interior to be much better this season. I think he could be a big reason why. And with Jacob Lacey out, obviously retired now, he stepped up in a big way. And I think that he's going to be a big, big reason why Oklahoma's defense is a lot better this next year.
I love the pick. I think going into making my list of guys that I wanted to draft, I was thinking, you know, there were a couple of position groups I kind of circled in on that I've like position groups that you could almost name anybody there as this being a big opportunity for them. So I looked at that defensive tackle room and Grayson Halton was the guy I landed on because it's a big opportunity for everybody in that room. Jaden Jackson and David Stone, there's a real path to playing time for them. You look at guys like Devon Sears or Ashton Sanders or Dejon Terry. Like, there's a lot of guys you could look at there. But Grayson Halton, to me, stands out above the rest for not only everything you just said, but to me, he is not going to get a better opportunity to see real playing time and make an impact than he does right now.
Right.
He saw 165 snaps his first 2 years combined. So he saw like a little bit of playing time, like more than garbage time, but not enough to really be considered a full rotational guy.
Right.
Look, he's a consensus four-star recruit. There's a lot of buzz about him when he got on campus.
Yep.
And I think he's a guy that got lost in the shuffle the last two springs and the last two fall camps. He has not gotten lost in the shuffle this year. And I think he's made some of the most impressive standout plays in practices and in scrimmages.
Yes.
And as much as Jaden and David have potential, as much as there are guys in that room that can make an impact, they need a third-year guy or a veteran guy to step up right now.
Yep.
They need somebody that can assert themselves and make a no-doubt, I-belong kind of case.
Right.
He's at the top of that list. They need him. It's not only just a big opportunity for him. OU needs him to make an impact. So I think I love the pick. He's going to be a guy I'm really looking at. see, does he start? And if he's, and if he doesn't start, how much does he play? Look, they're going to rotate a bunch of guys in there anyway. So it's not like any of the defensive tackles are going to see 70 snaps a game.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Don't put them in Sharpie right now.
Right.
There's going to be some changes. Yeah.
Right. And also, I mean, they're going to rotate just like they did last year. Jordan Kelly, Jonah Lau'ulu, Isaiah Coe, Dejon Terry, and Jacob Lacey all saw a decent amount of snaps last year in every game. But they need Grayson Halton to be, I think he can and needs to be a 35 to 40 snap a game kind of guy. I think they need that.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing is a reason why a big spring game for him could be monumental is it's no secret. There's at least three guys going to be on campus this weekend that are looking to potentially transfer to OU. So you've got is it Blighty or Blighty, I think is how you say his last name, and then you have Lowell, and then obviously you've got Dominic Williams. From TCU all going to be in town. So those are guys coming in that, I mean, look, wherever they end up, they're going to expect to be in the rotation, and so this is really a chance for Grayson Halton to take hype from what we, you know, everything that we've heard and seen ourselves and solidify it in front of the fan base and when the lights are on. And I think that that's a huge opportunity for him. So if he can do that now, it could really solidify what he could be for this team when the fall rolls around.
Good point. I'm going to go to the number four overall pick in this draft. We've gone defense, offense, defense. I'm wondering, I've got two things going on in my head right now. I'm thinking, do I go with an offensive guy? So we do two offensive, two defensive to start. So I'm thinking that. And then I'm wondering, is there a guy on my list that you don't have? Because right now there's too much symmetry. There's too much of being on the same page. All three of these guys we've talked about, we each had on our lists. I'm trying to think, is there a guy on here you don't have?
Or do you want to steal a guy from me?
Yeah, so that's, or do I want to steal a guy? This is a lot of pressure, man. A lot of pressure. I would never be able to make it in an actual professional sports draft. I would just crumble under the pressure. I think I'm going to go with an offensive guy. I'm picking between two guys. I think there's one guy that's going to be on your list and one guy that's not. So I'm going to go with the guy that I don't know if is on your list. I'm going to look at running back, but it's not going to be the name you think. It's not going to be the name you think. I'm going with Javonte Barnes.
Oh, no, it's not.
I'm going with Javonte Barnes. I think I know who you thought I might pick. That's not who I'm going with. Now, he's a guy we're going to mention. But Javonte Barnes, Brian. And I'm going with Javonte Barnes because for a lot of reasons, and a lot of them are obvious. But it's so easy. You know, I've said this and said this and said this. It's so easy to forget how much hype there was about this guy heading into last year.
Man, yeah.
It's so easy to forget. He was sharpied as the number one guy by everybody.
Yep.
And at least during the spring and even within the summer, early fall camp, showed his potential as a freshman. You mentioned Desan McCullough is a guy that I think fans can forget about. I think Javonte Barnes falls in that mix. And I think, I mean, he was the main consistent option outside of Eric Gray in 2022. And I think just got lost in the shuffle last year as injuries piled up and as confidence issues piled up and as Gavin Sawchuk and Tawi Walker stood out. Javonte Barnes just wasn't his year. And not only, for one, he's healthy. That's number one. Two, he has the rare, outside of Gavin Sawchuk, he's a rare guy in that running back room that has not only experience on the field, but experience at OU on the field. It's him and Gavin, really. And also, while I think there should be real excitement about him as being the number two guy under or Gavin, or if he plays really well, or if he continues to grow and develop, who knows? But I also think it's because he could lose a grip or lose out on that number two spot. That's the other part of it too.
Yeah.
Because Caleb Hicks is coming. Caleb Hicks is coming. They're really excited about Sam Franklin, what he could bring. Not to mention Xavier Robinson and Taylor Tatum coming in the summer. I think Javonte has probably the clearest path to playing time behind Gavin, but not only is it not a given, but I think this spring game is a huge opportunity for him. Because if he doesn't play well and someone like Caleb Hicks does, that's going to make things quite a bit murkier for him heading in the summer. Right. I mean, what do you think?
If that happens, if that particular instance happens where he doesn't play well, Caleb Hicks comes in and just sets the place on fire, like, I would immediately write down Barnes as a name to watch
for the portal
before April 30th. Like, not that, you know, not that the kid, not that he's just looking for a way out, but, you know, that would be solidifying what, you know, a lot of fans or a lot of people had expected after last year. Yes, he was dealing with injury, but whenever you have a young player that looks like Caleb Hicks does, the general fan base is going to ask, why is he not playing? Like, the, you know, he's got all the physical intangible. Like, you put all of those guys, you line all the running backs up and look at them and pick the first one that you pick, that's the guy that's going to go on and be an SEC running back or an NFL running back. It's Caleb Hicks. Like, he just looks the part. Him and Amika Megwe, both of them. But
I should have mentioned Barnes, Amika.
Huh? Yeah. I mean,
I should have mentioned Amika.
Yeah. Those two guys, they look the part, but Barnes at his best, when we've seen Javonte Barnes at his best, he is capable of being a top three running back in the SEC. Like, he absolutely is. And I don't think that we got to see that at all last year. And with him actually being fully healthy now, it does sound like he has really returned to form. And if that's the case, that's such good news for Oklahoma's offense. Like, you absolutely have to have a difference maker at running back, especially with some of the issues you've had on the offensive line to this point. So you're going to have somebody step up, because let's be honest, how confident are you or I right now that you can hand the ball off to Gavin Sawchuk 25 times for 12 games and that he's going to be 100%
over a full season?
Yeah, no way. I mean, it's just not possible. It's a different animal entirely. And I think you're going to have something of a committee there. You're going to have guys that are willing to pull their own weight. And Barnes is somebody fully capable of doing it. And I think you're right. If he can do it this weekend, it would be a huge boost.
You didn't have him on your list, right?
Did not.
Let's go, baby.
Solid.
Okay. Number 5 overall pick, Brian. So far, we've taken Desaun McCullough, Jaden Gibson, Grayson Halton, Javonte Barnes. You have the number 5 pick. You're on the clock. Who are you going with?
So I feel obligated almost to continue with the defensive role since, you know, we've kind of established this. I know one of these guys absolutely is going to be on your list. And I'm not going to pick him because I'm not going to watch you laugh at me trying to pronounce his name. So I'm going to go with Des Malone at number 5 instead of
I guess I know who I'm picking. I guess I know who I got next pick.
I'm going to go Des Malone.
Not on my list, but I like to pick.
Yeah, so he is a guy that immediately jumped out for me in the first week of open practice. You could tell immediately that there's just some guys that have like a dog mentality. And especially it shows up very clearly at wide receiver and at corner for some reason. Like, those two positions are just incredibly competitive in one-on-one situations. And he was a guy that immediately jumped out to me as like one of the most competitive guys in the room. The addition of him to the cornerback room and the addition of Deion Burks to the wide receiver room, just the competition level has just skyrocketed. So I love that with what he brings. Now, physically, he looks the part. Like, this is a guy that absolutely looks like he'd come in and solidify one of those spots. What it's done is, it's really, I wasn't 100% on board with the idea of, hey, let's move Woody Washington from the place that he's been so good at for the last couple of years. Let's move him and put somebody else in at that spot. And then I realized, oh my gosh, like, if you can get him closer to the football and let his knowledge and experience help those younger guys, and you can put good athletes on the outside, then maybe this would work. And boom, Des Malone becomes the guy that I think can absolutely fill that role out there. He's physical. He has really good ball skills. He's got great size and length. That's a guy that I absolutely believe could be one of your starting corners, and I would not be surprised at all if he's making big plays on Saturday.
I like the pick. You can't pick everybody on your list, right? There's going to be guys that don't make it, but
No.
I like the pick, really like it. And I think because not only because everything you just said, the experience he brings, but cornerback depth was a real issue last year, especially as, you know, Gentry Williams struggled to stay healthy, as, you know, they're just not that the secondary was bad last year, but it was clear they needed a couple more guys. Right. That's that just they needed a couple more options, even if nothing else, just for different looks, different things they could do on the field. I like the Des Malone pick. He's really stood out to me. Those battles he had with Jaden Gibson in that first practice we got to watch were awesome.
Was
And it was
good.
cool to see Des get the better of him the first time and Jaden get the better of him the second time, at least in the two reps I saw. And it was really impressive considering Des Malone's given up like 6 inches on Jaden Gibson.
Right. Yeah.
He's not the tallest guy. He's not the physically most intimidating guy, but he's clearly, I mean, he's got muscle, he's got speed, and I think the best thing, and you mentioned, is he kind of just has that, he's got that dog in him, which is, that just doesn't sound natural coming out of, that just doesn't sound natural for a guy like me to say. I can't pull it off, but he does have that dog in him. And I like the pick. I like the pick. If you had to put your stamp on it right now, is he a starter next fall? Putting you on the spot.
Yes.
Hot take. I love it. Not a hot take. It's just that's a bold take. I love it. I love it. Number six pick in the draft for me, or number six overall pick. And I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna go. We're gonna break the mold because I've only done offensive guys. I'm gonna go a defensive guy, and you alluded to it. I'm going to say PJ Adibauara, the guy whose last name we mispronounced for several months until he finally corrected it. Gonna go with PJ for a lot of obvious reasons. He's entering his second season. Saw the second most snaps of any true freshman on OU's roster last year, outside of Peyton Bowen. And he saw a decent amount of snaps. He was a rotational guy last year for a lot of the year. It's clear he offers something unique and stands out amid a defensive end room that has a lot of guys. But, you know, I think part of it is it's kind of like Jaden Gibson. That defensive end room is stacked, and there's a lot of guys trying to get playing time. It's Ethan Downs, it's R. Mason Thomas, it's Trace Ford, it's there's so many. I'm blanking on all the guys that are in that
Caden
room.
Woolard's in there
Yeah,
too.
Caden Woolard. That's not to mention the true freshmen that are Danny Okoye, Wyatt Gilmore. There's guys in that room. And, you know, OU's losing Rondell Bothroyd, who was a starter every game last year and saw a ton of snaps. There's playing time up for grabs and a lot of guys who are trying to fill that playing time. So I think that's part of it. And two, he's a guy that keeps on getting mentioned by fans as a guy that's like, what's going on with PJ? We're not hearing that much about PJ. What's up with him? We got to talk with him a few days ago. That was pretty interesting that he said his main goal has been gaining weight. Just standing next to him, he is noticeably bigger than he was last year. That's one. Two, he said he's weighing about 248 right now. I think he wants to be between 255, 260. And I think that sounds right for him. I think sometimes you think defensive line, you want to be as bulky as you can be. I don't think for a guy like that.
No.
Half his thing is, I mean, his unique thing is his speed and his length. That's what makes him stand out. So you're not, look, spring football is hype season. It always is. He's weirdly a guy that hasn't gotten a ton of hype, but considering how much he played last year, that year one to year two jump, I think it can happen. I think the spring game is a big opportunity for him. And just like it is for the other defensive ends, but especially for him, if he gains the weight that I think he's looking to gain, I think there should be just as much excitement about him as there's ever been, even if he's not a guy that continues to get named every single time we talk about practices, right?
Yeah. And I mean, the reality is when PJ makes the jump, whenever that is. Oklahoma's defense immediately is upgraded in a huge way, because when a player of that caliber, with his intangibles, with what he can do as a pass rusher, there's an unlimited amount of potential there for how good he could be. And when you have a player of that caliber on your defense that can, that other offense, that the offenses have to account for, it makes things so much harder. He is a guy, I mean, this is a pass rusher of the likes Oklahoma hasn't had since when. I don't know. His ceiling is so much higher than even what Eric Stryker's was, just based on his physical traits. I mean, this is a guy that has physical traits that resemble Myles Garrett. Like, he has those kinds of traits. And so when he realizes that, Oklahoma's defense literally, like, I don't want to put this too fine a point on this, but when he makes that jump, that could literally be the difference between Oklahoma's defense being great and elite. Like, just that one player making the jump. So, yeah, that's why he's on my list. That's why he was on my list. He's a guy that absolutely needs to be the guy that takes over that room and becomes the top option there. And when he does that, OU's going to be a lot better for it. You're muted.
Muted.
It was going to happen. It was going to happen at some point. At least we're like 40 minutes in. Love it. Love everything you just said. And imagine a defensive line in the future that is anchored by PJ and David Stone, Jaden Jackson. Once those guys are developed.
And Danny Okoye.
And Danny Okoye. All kinds of guys. Wyatt Gilmore. Other guys. A lot of guys. But there's a lot to be excited about on that defensive line. Brian, we are down to one more pick each. Got one last pick. I know you've got, this is going to be particularly, I know you're going to have some guys that you're leaving out.
Yeah.
And we'll mention them rapid fire at the very end. But in this official draft, the number 7 overall pick, your final pick, who are you going with?
So I'm basing my picks on guys that need to have big games. And for that reason alone, and I doubt this guy is on your list, I'm going to go Michael Tarquin.
Not on my list, but I like the pick.
No secret whatsoever. Oklahoma's offensive line is what everybody is going to be concerned about. Everyone. That's it, like that. That's what everybody that follows Oklahoma football is going to be concerned about, because outside of the offensive line, you honestly feel really good about where things are at with just about every other position group, maybe outside of defensive end. Like, everywhere else, you feel pretty good. Michael Tarquin has been running with the ones as the left tackle, which surprises me, because I thought that that was going to be Jacob Sexton. I believe they've moved Sexton in, at least most recently, moved him in to left guard, right, which, you know, kind of threw me off a little bit. And then you've got Jake Taylor on the other side playing right tackle. That surprises me. Now, Biedenboe is a wizard when it comes to getting his best five out there. Like, he finds ways of making it happen. I believe we saw, even with some of his better units, guys that were maybe built to be tackles at the next level playing guard, and then they made it work. And so maybe that's what we see for the time being. I could have gone Josh Bates here. I really did think, I thought about going there as well, but I think with how good Oklahoma has looked, with Fabecchi and Wiwu, and Heath Ozaida even has looked really good at guard, I think the center position is going to be okay as long as they can figure snaps out. And I think Garen Hatchett will have something to do with that. You may also have a new guy coming in, you know, with some visitors this weekend. So who knows what that all ends up breaking out and looking like. But I think at tackle is really where you need to see somebody have some big games. And Tarquin's a guy that really fans were not excited about him being picked up. There was a lot of backlash. Oh, why do we need this guy? Like, he was, I did a breakdown of him and watched some film and showed some of the good things and the bad things. And all I saw in the comments was, oh, this guy doesn't need to be at Oklahoma. What's he doing? Why is Bill Beatenbow going after this guy? Guys, he didn't just go after him in one cycle. He wanted him out of high school. He wanted him out of two transfer portal cycles. Clearly, Coach Beatenbow sees something in this guy. And now, look, he's coming out of spring practices, and he looks like, I guess, the best left tackle that they've got, which is just crazy to me. So, yeah, if he can have a big game, I think that's huge for Oklahoma, because if you can protect Jackson Arnold's blind side, the guy can make any throw on the field. So that opens up the offense in a big way. So Michael Tarquin's my last pick.
Like the pick, and it feels weird to pick two offensive linemen for this draft, but I think given how much focus and attention and possible concerns there are about that room as a whole, I'm going to do it. And you mentioned him. He's on my list. Josh Bates. He is my last pick in the last pick of this draft. It's obvious, but I'll go ahead and state the case. With Troy Everett's injury, Josh Bates is getting the majority of the first team reps at center, or at least he has been through most of the spring. He's going to be the starting center for the first team offense at the spring game. And I think Josh Bates is a guy, look, heading into his second year, played four snaps last year, so basically didn't play last year. And I think with all of the turnover at offensive line, you mentioned Tarquin and the eight other guys they brought into the room, it's been hard, and all the guys they lost who started last year, it's been hard to project exactly what this offensive line is going to be. And I think Josh Bates's name sometimes gets lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
Especially with all the experienced guys they're bringing in, not to mention the guys they could potentially bring during this transfer portal window. I mean, Branson Hickman, right? Guy that could easily come in with experience coming, or guy with a ton of experience, time on the field, could easily be a guy that slots in. But with Troy Everett being out, at least till fall camp, I don't want to speculate too much, but I think his chances of being available for week one are not great, yeah, at the very least. Look, they're going to try different guys. I mean, Garen Hatchett is a guy that's been listed there. Josh Sosa is a guy that could get some snaps there. But Josh Bates is getting thrown into the fire a little bit. He has not played center a ton the last couple of years. He started out there in high school, but has mostly been playing guard the last couple of years of high school and into college. A little bit of a twist and turn for him, but he's not going to see a better opportunity for real snaps probably than he is right now. If he can stand out at center, maybe he wins the job outright, even when Troy Everett comes back, or regardless of what they do in the portal.
Yep.
But if he doesn't, I think he runs the risk of potentially getting lost in the shuffle a little bit.
Yeah.
And part of that's he's a second year guy. They're bringing in experienced guys. That's part of it. But like,
right,
if he has a hell of a spring game and really continues to develop, maybe he gets the starting job week one and he earns it and he plays well and that continues.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just not a great fit. He doesn't stand out there. They bring some other guys in. Troy Everett comes back and, you know, they try to move him back to guard it, but he just gets lost in the shuffle. And OU needs somebody to step up. They need guys at center. They need guys all along the offensive line, but they need Josh Bates playing well would be a godsend for this team.
Yes. Yep.
It'd be a godsend.
Well,
he might be the guy I'm watching the most. At least on the offensive line, he might be the guy I'm watching the most on Saturday.
Yeah, it's in the cards for him to – he could be that guy. I mean, I think a lot of people forget he was the number four center coming out of high school in the country in his class. So, like, this is a guy that has the tools. And sure, he's young. And no, he's not as polished as a guy like Creed Humphrey was coming out of high school. But he has the – he's got the tools to be successful there. I think a lot of what happens with the offensive line is you plug the guys in that have the best mind for the position. And it almost seems as if Bill Beatenbow over the course of his tenure at Oklahoma has chosen like cerebral talent over physical talent a lot of times, until the guys with physical talent can catch up. I think where Josh Bates is going to have to make the jump is that how well he knows everything. Like, how well can he check into a specific front or a specific blocking scheme against a front? He sees a blitz coming. Can he pick that up and let the other guys know what they need to do? Like the center for Oklahoma has so many pre-snap recognition and responsibilities that it's a hard spot. Like you have to have experience doing that, and until you get that experience, you're kind of just thrown out there to the fire. So yeah, I think this is a big game for Bates, because he needs to be able to show that with the excitement of having all the fans there, with everything going on, with game-like mentality, that he can do what he needs to do to get guys in the right spot. Because as the center, fair or not, that's your responsibility. It's the second most mentally demanding position on the offense behind the quarterback. Like he has to know everything that the guys around him are doing. So yeah, it's a big spot to have to be in, but he talked about not being afraid of the challenge. He talked about this is something that he was excited to step up and do, and now he's got to go out and prove that. And I think it's a big opportunity for him. And as you said, if he can go out and have a big game, it would absolutely, like, the hype around Oklahoma would go through the roof. Like the fact that this team is sitting at 6.5 or 7.5 wins with Vegas, I think you would have more people hitting the over than you would know what to do with if the offensive line looks good. So, yeah, big pick, good pick. I had him on my list, obviously, as well. So.
That concludes our official draft, the first ever draft for the Oklahoma Drill. And or correct me if I'm wrong, but just to recap, it was Son McCullough with the number one, Jaden Gibson with the number two. Who's it? Does it
Grayson
Des
Holton.
Malone? Or
Grayson
Grayson Holton,
Holton,
sorry,
three.
Grayson Holton number three, Javonte Barnes number four, Des Malone number five, PJ Adibauara number six, Michael Tarquin number seven, and Joshua Bates as the eighth and final pick in this draft. Brian, I know you had a list of a few other guys. You want to just rattle off who else you had?
Caleb Hicks was on there. Caden Woolard was on there. Lewis Carter was on the list. Bauer Sharp was on there. Only reason I didn't talk about him is because I think his stock is as high as it's going to get. Jacoby Johnson was my other guy that we've heard a lot about. So excited about him too.
Like I had Jacoby Johnson as well, and I'll just mention a couple others. Jacoby had Samuel Omosigo
That's a good
on
one too.
there, yeah, as a guy who's really stood out. And then I also had Caleb Hicks, but I just and Caleb, I think really it comes down to I think the positions to watch are, and I'll throw David Stone and Jaden Jackson in there as well, just because I
Sure.
think there's a path to playing time that's even more viable for them compared to most freshmen. But really, I think it comes down to running back's going to be interesting to watch. Defensive end, or the defensive line as a whole is going to be interesting to watch, and then the offensive line, I think,
Agreed. Yep.
are really the spots to watch. But look, hey, spring game Saturday at 1 o'clock for now, and Brian and I will both be in attendance, as well as our OU insider team, braving the elements, especially me being the bravest of all. But we'll be there on Saturday. We'll have tons of content leading up to the game. We'll have tons of content afterwards. Make sure to like and subscribe here at the OU Insider YouTube channel, or become a VIP member over at OUinsider.com. Not a better time to do it, not only because of the spring game, but there's going to be tons of recruiting intel, tons of breakdowns and analysis from the game as a whole. And hey, OU softball season in the thick of things. OU's run into a little bit some hills and valleys the last couple of weeks. And this weekend they're going against Houston. We'll have coverage from that as well. Baseball's still going on. Basketball in the thick of trying to find some guys in the portal. Lots of stuff. Lots of guys. You're not gonna want to miss on this info. We'll be back here next week on the Oklahoma Drill to break down all things spring game, talk a little bit more about OU softball. But till that happens, we'll see you this weekend, and we'll see you next time.